Blessed are you, holy and living one. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now, may God our Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And don't let that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
It's that time of year, It's that time of year when you turn on the TV and you'll find a movie version of Charles Dickens's Christmas Carol. And hear all about Scrooge and his three ghosts. What I want to suggest to you is that the Christmas Carol is a modern version of an ancient type of story called apocalyptic. Apocalyptic is an ancient story form which uses scary, phantasmagorical imagery about ends coming and things breaking up in order to call a people to a change. In essence, apocalyptic says, if things keep going the way they are, this is what's going to happen. If you change, other things could happen. Presumably, easier things with which to cope could happen. So the first thing I want you to hear in that definition is that an apocalyptic story does not say the way things are going to be. This is a mistake that many people make. Apocalyptic does not say this is the way things will definitely be, get ready. It says this is the way things will be if you don't change. There are many, many people who read apocalyptic and they think the world, this is a definite description of how the world is going to end and what's going to happen at the end of days, and we should all live in fear. I want to suggest to you that that is to misunderstand apocalyptic. And not only is it to misunderstand apocalyptic, it is to misunderstand this story that Jesus tells. Because he starts with sort of classic apocalyptic genre statements. The world's going to end. Things are going to be in chaos. People are going to be freaking out. But then he throws in an interesting twist in which he says, and when that happens, look up. When that happens, expect me to show up. When things are falling apart, it might be thin enough for you to see through and see me. It's important to recognize that. One of the simple truths of the matter is that we believe that the Spirit is always involved in history and in our lives, but it's not always easy to see the Spirit at work. Sometimes in moments of great joy, and sometimes in moments of great pain, we do a better job of seeing the Spirit at work. It's the way we humans are. So Jesus tells this apocalyptic story, and then he proceeds to interpret it for us. Thank you, Jesus. But then he says, the text says, so he tells them a parable. Really? A parable? Parables are hard to understand, too. So you're going to explain a piece of apocalyptic with a parable? Now, what I find really interesting about that, after I get over being shocked, what I find interesting about that is that you have to do what he's suggesting in order to hear or read these stories. Right? You have to pay attention to figure out a parable. You have to pay attention to figure out a piece of apocalyptic. And so by giving us an apocalyptic story and then giving us a parable of all things to interpret the apocalyptic story, what we have to do to get through all of that is pay really close attention, which is the change that he's asking for. So even the literary form of the story reinforces the message. The message is apocalyptic type message. Things are going to be chaotic. The change that helps is to pay attention, to be alert, to be aware, to lift your head, to look. These are the things that help. And the form of the story itself pushes us to do that. So we look at this parable, and it's a positive parable. Don't miss that point. It's a positive parable. This is all like a fig tree, and when the leaves start to blossom on the fig tree, you know it's going to be summer soon, it's going to be nice weather, you can go to the beach, eventually you're going to have figs, they taste good. This is leading to good things. And there is a kind of disruption of the branch and its structure when the leaves sprout and when the fruit takes form. So we're left to wonder about what happens when things are breaking up. And we're encouraged to pay attention. Now, you will recall back when we started Advent, I said to you at that time that we humans have patterns of relating. We call them systems. And that those patterns of relating can be wonderful and just, and just as easily they can be unjust and hurtful. And I suggested to you that when we hear apocalyptic stories about things falling apart, that one way to interpret them is to say that Jesus will cut right through all of our structures and all of their flaws to get at us and love us. And so that's part of what's going on in this story. Things are going to fall apart, says Jesus. Pay attention, though, because I'm coming. Pay attention because the falling apart is stuff getting out of the way so I can get to you and love you and redeem you and bless you. It's interesting because the change he's advocating does not change the way things are in the world, it changes us. And we're invited to recognize in this series of stories the reality that for spiritual people, often the answer is both and. I like the Zen stories where somebody asks the Zen master, "Master, is it this or that?" And the master looks at them and goes, "Yes." I love those stories because that's often the way spiritual people see things. Things may be peaceful in the world. Things may be chaotic in the world, and God is in charge. Things may be peaceful in the world, or things may be chaotic in the world, and the Holy Spirit is history's driver. There is a kind of peacefulness that we generate in ourselves by being alert, by watching, by trying to catch glimpses of God at work in our lives and in our world. Sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it's easy to see. But what makes possible that position of serenity on our part, despite what's going on out there, is our willingness to stay alert. It's a very interesting text in that regard. If I were to use a metaphor for the apocalyptic, it wouldn't be fig trees. Because I'm not a gardener, I don't know anything about that. What I would use as a metaphor for this is Christmas presents. I love to wrap Christmas presents. And I like to do fancy, funky wrapping, and it's really pretty. And I have friends who say to me, oh, I never, never want to open your presents because they look so pretty. And I'm like, it's wrapping. It's supposed to be impermanent. Okay? I would suggest to you that the stories about the world falling apart are stories about things that are pretty, things that we may be attracted to, things that make us feel warm, but which have all the spiritual depth of paper. And Jesus, like a child opening a Christmas present, rips the paper off to get at the present. And the present is you. The present is you. You are Jesus' Christmas present. Especially if you can learn to watch. If you can learn to be alert. If you can learn to look at everything that's happening in the world and say, yeah, it's crazy, but the Holy Spirit is history's driver. Things may be chaotic. I may have moments when I feel afraid, worried, concerned. And the Holy Spirit is history's driver. I may worry about where our nation is going, or where our parish is going, or where my family is going, or where my job is going. I mean, people have all those kinds of worries. What my kids are doing, what my relatives are doing, people have all those kinds of worries. And what expectant people do is look at all of that and say, and the Holy Spirit is history's driver, and God is still in charge, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut, especially if it's family. Keep my mouth shut and watch for what the Holy Spirit may be doing. It's hard to do sometimes. But that's what this text is about. It's fascinating to me that the change that Jesus asks for in his piece of Apocalyptic, which always asks for a change, the change that Jesus asks for is that we become observant, that we watch, that we expect, that we wait. It's like people, you know, waiting to open the Christmas present. Can we be that expectant about God being at work in our world and in our lives? Can we be waiting with bated breath to see what God does next? That's what Jesus is asking about. That's what this piece of Apocalyptic is doing. The work it is doing is calling us to change and become more expectant, and especially when things look the most chaotic and the worst. When things look the absolute worst, Jesus says, look up, you might see me showing up. Really? What a challenge. What a marvelous challenge. What a word of hope. This isn't about the world falling apart, be afraid, be very afraid, turn or burn infidel. Right? That's not what's going on here. This is about seeing the possibilities. This is about being willing to be surprised by how much God loves you. This is about thinking of yourself as Jesus' Christmas present.
As you are able, please stand and join with me in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father Almighty. make earth and earth. All that you have seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, God from God made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things have been made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, and lived from Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified and conscious by God. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped. Who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of the waiting, give us courage to wait with those in the most broken places of the world.
Gracious God, most have experienced life as a feast of opportunities. We give you thanks for these many blessings, and we pray for those whose lives are far from the abundance you intend. We pray particularly for all who are sick and all who are addicted, remembering especially Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Carolyn, Caitlin, Pete, Nancy, John, Carol, Todd, Ben, Arlene, Mary, Kobe, Richard, Peg, Jan, Linda, Danica, Sarah, Melissa, Betsy, Sarah, Tom, Victor, Rusty, Mike, and all who are affected by natural disaster.
Empower us and all people who struggle to be bearers of hope.
Long-awaited Savior,
we pray with those who wait for wars to stop, for violence to cease.
We pray for all who work for justice and peace. We pray for the nations and all in authority, including Donald the President, and the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We also pray for those who serve in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen.
God of the waiting, transform our conflicts into your peaceful reign.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We pray for those who, in their grief, struggle to feel the coming hope, particularly those who grieve their jobs, their joy, or those whom they love.
We pray for those who have died. Rick, Raul, Dan, Tomio, Ken, and Quay.
God of the waiting, comfort us with your power and grace.
We lift before you the Anglican Communion, the Episcopal Church, our diocese, St. Luke's, and faithful people everywhere.
We pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders, and all people in their vocations and ministries. We also remember before you Mary the God-bearer, Luke and John, our patrons, Francis, John, Clement, Nicholas, Ambrose, Richard, Narcissa, William, and whom we commemorate this week.
God of the waiting, by your unmeasured mercy, grant that we may serve you with undivided hearts, live together in unbroken community, and greet you with unending praise.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We give you thanks for your many blessings which fill our waiting with joy and give us a foretaste of our fulfillment.
We pray for those celebrating birthdays: Linda, William, Robert, Kaylee, Bob, Janine, Janice, and for those celebrating wedding anniversaries: Becky and Adam. We give thanks for the baptismal anniversaries of Toby, Tom, BJ, Neil, and Tara.
God of the waiting, help us find the wonder of expectation. God of generations, your promises come to birth in surprising ways. Fill our hearts with courage and hope, and fill our dreams with visions of new life, so that we live according to your word and love with the fullness of your grace. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. God of all mercy,
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
we praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life eternal. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. And honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
One is holy.
Craig and Chris, I send you forth, bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the holy communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another,
and you have made us one.
Are we on different pages? Hand me the book. Sorry about that. These things happen. The Holy Spirit still shows up. Let's try that again. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for being here today.
As you are able, please stand.
May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and scatter the obstacles from before your path. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.